Welcome to another episode of Unleash Your Supernova Live. I'm your host, Nova Rain, and author of Unleash Your Supernova, available at your favorite bookstores. I'm also a mother of four, the founder of Rain Magazine, Pink Kangaroo, the Rain School of Fashion, and Nova Rain International. I am here with one of my favorite people in the world, my co-host, Ryan Anderson, founder of Ryan Esquire, a business and peak performance coaching and consulting company. He'll be joining me as my partner in crime as we help you unleash your supernova. If you end up liking Ryan as much as I do, you can get more by checking out ryanesquire.com. That's Ryan with an O, R-Y-O-N, Esquire.com. So join the fun live every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern as we help you increase creativity, beat burnout, and happily survive the roller coaster of creative entrepreneurship. This is the companion show to the book Unleash Your Supernova, your go-to guide for immediately usable tips on mindset, creativity hacks, decreasing stress, and unlocking your limitless potential. If you miss us on Fridays on BBS Radio, no problem. Make sure to download and subscribe to the Unleash Your Supernova podcast. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, Nova?
I'm good. I feel like I'm like on the rise with my energy level all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It is the end of the week. It is Friday, and as you know, this is a big week, and I should be, like, crashing and burning right now. But I don't know. I feel like I'm getting my second wind.
Yeah, probably because you're like, the weekend is in sight. I can see the end of this roller coaster. That's probably where it's coming from.
I think so. And the journey is just beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. It's How is the journey beginning. Going, by the way?
It's good. I mean, our listeners who've been following us for a while, they know that my book just launched March 16th. So it's been a few days, right, post-launch. And I really see it as a new journey as just beginning, even though it's still a journey, right, at the end of the day. The journey from writing the book to publishing the book, you know, even just coming up with the idea to getting an agent and getting a publisher to say yes. I mean, that's all part of the journey. But I feel like I just gave birth to a new child. Like, Unleash Your Supernova, the book, is an infant right now. It's a newborn. Mm-hmm. And now I have to feed it, nurture it, help it grow, you know.
Listen to it cry, clean its diapers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. All
the bad
that.
Parts
all
to
that.
It, too. You gotta know that.
Yeah, no, it's been a crazy week. I'm keeping up. I'm trying to keep up between the emails and the text messages and the social media posts and notifications. And I had no idea what post-launch would look like. I was so focused on, okay, it's live. The book is here. You know, it's available for everyone, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of just where my thoughts had stopped.
right.
And I thought the work would stop that day too, but no. Anyway.
Yeah, it's funny. I just happened to read an email this morning, and it was talking about books. What it was talking about was books create a safe place to examine and change your mind. Change your opinion about stuff. Versus a conversation with like a friend or a coworker or something where, it could be the exact same topic of conversation that was in the book, but, there's a fear of like being judged or feeling judged or saying something stupid. And, I thought that was so interesting and powerful because what you're essentially have done with the book is you've created a safe place for people to examine, evaluate and potentially change their thoughts. And now that I've read that, I'm like, that is not only super powerful, but really kind of a, what's the right word? Gift that you've given the world, right? And you should be proud of that.
That's so cool, you know, how you just described a book creating a safe space. And I never thought about it like that, but I completely agree. Yeah, I love that. I love that comparison, you know, to feeling comfortable exploring different ideas or topics or experiences without that fear of being judged. You know, it's you, it's the book, it's your own thoughts. And I love that. I love that concept because I'm a big book reader, as you know, and, you know, I do a book club and I really love exploring.
And you do a book club show.
And yeah. I do a book club show. That's right.
Yeah, you should scream it out to the world. Yeah.
Tuesday's book club.
There we go. Yeah.
And, for those book lovers out there, yes. And I can absolutely relate to going through the stories, you know, especially the fictional stories, and getting to know the characters and asking the question, what would I do in that situation? You know, do I agree with their choices or decisions? And I do see that as a safe space to make those inquiries, to explore, you know, certain decisions that you may say, maybe I'll make that or maybe not. So I love that.
Yeah, I was the same way. It really kind of, it opened the line of thinking relating to not only books, but really influence, right? That I had never thought about, because people always talk about, like, me, like you, I should write a book and tell my story or whatever the situation may be. And I never want to, because A, it's a tremendous amount of work, as you can attest to. And I just haven't wanted to delve in it, right? But if you're looking at it, as I read that and started looking at a book from an influence perspective, you know, if my mission in life is to really, you know, change hearts and minds, right? It might be a better way of doing it in some ways, or at the very least a better introduction to me than a phone conversation would be, because it does create that safe place, right? It does allow people to read my thoughts, evaluate them, either like them or hate them or whatever the situation may be, and not have to worry about offending me or my arguments or my counter arguments or whatever. And so from that perspective, I think looked at that way strategically, it's a very powerful way of growing a loyal audience.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I'm going to say I agree with everyone that's telling you to write a book. You know, I've been telling you to write a book. You do have an incredible story that can change.
Of course,
lives.
Misery loves company. That's exactly why you tell me to write a book. Yeah, I know how it rolls. Yeah, have a child.
It's a lot of
best
work.
Thing you'll ever
it's
do.
A lot.
Yeah, no
one it's
ever
a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Child.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. I want to take a moment to thank everyone who's listening, who bought the book, who supported me on this journey. You know, I'm just gonna back up a little bit. You know. Obviously, I'm Noble Rain, and I have the show, and Ryan is my partner in crime on this show, and the show has the same name as our podcast, but Unleash a Supernova, the book, was an idea as a book before it became a podcast, and I had to hold on to that idea and believe that it would come to fruition before it was a thing, before it was real, before it was tangible, before I got the agent, before I finished writing the book, before I got a publisher, before it was delivered in the mail. And that belief turned into a podcast. And so the Unleash a Supernova podcast was launched back in late 2019, went on to be nominated for an award a few months after going live. And recently, Ryan and I felt that doing this live show would benefit listeners, because we would be bringing more aspects of the actual book and tools and tips to our listeners. And so, but I want to take a moment to say thank you for everyone who has helped me on this journey, including you, Ryan, who has supported me, who's been there for me, who, even if we haven't spoken in years, I mean, I'm hearing from individuals who are still connected with me on social media, but we haven't physically seen each other or even have had a conversation in years, but they've been supporting me throughout this journey through recognizing my posts and sharing and things like that. So I want to absolutely say thank you. And for those that are thinking about writing a book and doubting yourself, I want to say, if it's something that's in your heart, go for it. And be okay with it taking time, but look for that support system and those individuals that can guide you along the process. So when I decided that I was going to write a book, I actually went out and I did the research. I spoke to authors. I asked questions. I went to book conferences, you know, and I tried to get as much knowledge as I could to give me the courage to start penning the first word. And then that led to the courage to go to a conference and actually pitch to agents and learn along the way. And so the first book I pitched, I didn't bring to life. This is actually the second book I pitched, you know, 2 years after my first pitch. And I was determined to stick to the path and allow this dream to come true, because I feel oftentimes we fall off that path. And we do sort of let fear kind of trap us into the space of paralysis. So I'm proof that you can do it. If I could do it, 4 kids, multiple brands, and all the other things that I have going on in my life, and I could still write a book and put it out there, you can do it too. And that's what I want to say. Thank you. And if you have a book you want to bring to life, I'm here to support you too. I'm off my soapbox now, Ryan.
Yeah. Basically, what I heard was, if you're a successful, amazing, dynamic person, you too can write a book. That's essentially what I heard from this next speech.
It's literally, is that what you heard? Is that the only thing you heard?
That's what I heard. Yeah, that's what I heard. This is your show. And, you know, if you're gonna like shine the spotlight bright while you're on your soapbox, who am I to stop that? But I can't argue with what you heard.
I don't know if it's what I said, but I can't argue with what you heard.
That's the problem with communication, right? It's always left up to the recipient. The recipient is the one who gets to ultimately decide what is truly being conveyed. But you know, my BS aside, I think you bring up some really great points, which is like, you know, that anything worthwhile not only is going to be difficult, but oftentimes does take time, right? And there's going to be those struggles, those setbacks, like you said, like your first one didn't make it, right? And it really is. I remember one time reading about it, and it was talking about, it was really talking about the hero's journey in some way, and really, a lot of those challenges that people talk about, but those setbacks, what they really are is they're tests to determine whether or not you're worthy of the success that's going to come as a result of completing whatever that journey or quest or, you know, whatever term you want to call that, right? And by not losing that focus, right? Like you said, not losing faith in yourself, having that supportive team, which in the hero's journey would be like, you know, all the people that go along the journey with them, right? The supporting cast. Having those supportive people along with you on that journey is super important to, you know, not only completing or accomplishing that goal, but maintaining your sanity throughout the process, right? Because I'm sure, especially when you're doing a book like Supernova, where in some ways, many ways, it's kind of like revealing your soul in many ways from the standpoint of like your thoughts, your ideas, your beliefs. And I'm sure it causes you to question sometimes, right? And having people that you can bounce those fears, those anxieties off against, who can really, hopefully, objectively give you feedback that's like, no, you really are on the right path, goes a long ways to making this, or really allowing it to be finished, right? You know, because everybody needs that support. Everybody needs that push sometimes. Because, you know, 2 years, it can get kind of dark for 2 years as far as, like, am I ever going to get this done? Is it ever going to come to light? You know, is it going to be worthwhile? So I think it's a very powerful message that you just convey to the audience about that.
Yeah, and I also agree with your point about it will take
the spotlight?
Time. And that wasn't the point I was going to emphasize.
That was the point. Oh, sorry.
Okay,
sorry.
Ryan.
I got confused. Sorry. Go back to your soapbox.
No, that's not what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about patience.
Oh, mom voice.
Okay.
Right there. Mom tone. I get that a lot.
Be patient. Be patient with yeah. your dreams. And having that support system is so key. I was I had an interview yesterday, and someone had asked, you know, how are you doing all you're doing? And, yeah, I do have multiple brands and projects going on, but I didn't start them all at the same time. And they've been in the works for years, you know, mm-hmm. Nova Lorraine International, I've been working on for about, at least planting the seeds for about 4 or 5 years. Pink Kangaroo was about a year and a half ago where I had the initial idea. Unleash a Supernova 2 years ago. And so these things take time. And when you're building something that of true value, you want to put the time in that's going to allow it to have a really strong foundation to grow and pivot from, where you could pivot from and or scale from.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
I'm glad
someone
you said
asked,
pivot because sorry.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
PK pivoted a little bit, you know, cause I've been along on the entire PK journey PK pivoted a little bit, from original concept to what it is now as far as audience and, you know, on some, not drastically, but on some level. And so, you know, acknowledging that those are going to happen and changing sometimes midstream. That's important for people to know, you know, because, just because you have what you think is a great idea in the beginning doesn't mean everybody else in the world thinks it's a great idea. And acknowledging that the audience wants something else and being willing to pivot to it, like that's huge. Like that's a key to success in business that a lot of, I think, businesses don't do. You know, that they get stuck in their ways. They get stuck in this is what we've always done. And, you know, maybe it worked 10 years ago, but that was 10 years ago, right? So I think that was an important part, or point that you made.
Yeah, no, thank you. I like the idea that you emphasize that because in the book, I do talk a lot about pivoting and changing course mm-hmm. and direction and how to deal with that and handle that. And I think sometimes we are afraid to change course. We are afraid to pivot.
You don't get to know it.
Yeah, you know, maybe you'll be judged by your partner mm-hmm. or your spouse or your family or your consumers. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's the fear of failing. Like, oh, if I change my mind or if I pivot, that means I've failed. I mean, there are many reasons that we have why we don't change course when we feel it's right to change course. And then that becomes more detrimental in the long run, right? It creates more... Mm-hmm. pain or challenges or obstacles in the long run because we did not, you know, adhere to that, to those signals, the blinking red light. And mm-hmm. we're like, nope, we're still moving forward, you know, because, you know, we decided to not change or change course or pivot for those reasons mentioned earlier or other reasons. And I want to say, allow yourself permission to do that because if something isn't mm-hmm. feeling right anymore, there's a reason for that. If you aren't having fun anymore, there's a reason for that, you know, mm-hmm. and we shouldn't ignore those things. You know, we shouldn't ignore those. And going back to your comment about PK, so PK is for Pink Kangaroo, and it is a podcast network, and it's a home for wild thinkers is our tagline. And our audience, our content creators, our hosts, primarily and secondarily our listeners, and we bring both of them together. Well, initially, we wanted to offer everything to our hosts. We wanted to help them not only launch their show and brand their show, but produce their show and edit their show and market their show. And then as we got into launching and then post-launch, we decided, you know what? Let's focus on what we can do now and do really, really well and find partners that can help with those other areas. And so what we do really well are curating great shows and content and providing strategy to our hosts to help launch, grow, and monetize their show. And so, but we had to pivot to that when we realized that the other services would be great, but not the best thing to launch with. And to be a little more focused on what we can deliver of value, as you mentioned earlier, Ryan, making sure we're providing value, what we can offer of value right now. So I love that example. Pink Kangaroo, aka PK, is growing tremendously and super excited about that. And I think part of that was because we did make that decision really early on to pivot and focus on what we're offering.
Yeah, because, you know, in that discussion that we were having when we were doing that, I basically made you do the numbers, right? I mean, that stuff, and the numbers just, it's crazy. I'm not a huge number person from the standpoint, like, numbers don't tell the entire story, but they can at least give you an evaluative, you know, point to, like, say yes or no about some decisions. So we ran the numbers, it completely changed the entire, like, thought process of what we were doing. And it allowed us to really focus on, like, what your gift is, what you're great at. And you're great at branding, you're great at storytelling, you know, you're great at the visual imagery of it, right? And that, in addition to the concept of PK, is really what makes PK different, right? It's visually beautiful, right? The visual story is compelling. And, people are attracted to it and they, you know, give the shows a chance because it piques their visual interest, right? And so, by doubling down on that, which is what your gifts are, it really allowed, you know, you to create what you wanted to create. And then you allowed other companies that do what they do well, do the back end stuff that isn't really what you wanted to do anyway. Cause you love telling the story. You don't love, you know, amplifying the message necessarily, right? So, it was. That was a huge pivot point for not only you, but PK as well. And, you know, it just shows that by really focusing on that, in this case, because it'd be the why. Like, why did you do PK? By really focusing on that why, understanding that why, it allowed you to tap into what your original motivations were. And then double down on that because, you know, your original motivations were authentic to you. And if they're authentic to you, not only can you talk to host on with more passion, more authority, right? You can do the same with advertisers. And it just allowed you to step into what your greatness is, which, you know, is why PK is doing so well.
Yes. And speaking of greatness, I'm going to go back to Unleash Your Supernova, the book launch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Humble
brag, speaking of greatness.
No, yeah, I know. That. I'm just going to say.
Spotlight.
No.
Shining bright.
Where I'm going with this is that the book is about helping others tap into that greatness, unleashing that limitless potential. And you had mentioned a few minutes ago about having that support system and reaching out to those around you that could, you know, provide you guidance and mentorship and coaching. And it's so, so critical, you know, when it comes down to birthing something new, launching something new, and having that environment that can provide, you know, going back to my analogy of a child, the nourishment needed for that idea to grow, right? And so along this journey, when I had gotten the book deal and knew, you know, I had to turn out a book in a few months and then, you know, work on getting the word out about it and haven't had, you know, marketed and published a magazine, but doing a personal book is very different, which I learned.
Okay.
And it was individuals like yourself and other friends, family members, my own immediate family that really helped create that supportive system, that supportive environment to push me forward on the days where I was just tired or exhausted, or I'm like, this is too much work. And having it's so much work. But it's so worth it though. It's so worth it. So, you know, most of us have gotten something really achieved. Yeah, we've achieved something we're proud of in life, but it took work. It took effort to get that, right? So I don't regret the work because I believe it's the reward is so much greater. But I do believe it's important to pay attention to our environment. And when I say environment, I do talk about not only the personal environment of people who are in your life or the physical environment, but also the mental environment. And all those three things come together to help you tap into your inner brilliance is what I say, your supernova. And it's something that I talk about in the book, but when you had mentioned support and coaching and, you know, mentors and things like that, I wholeheartedly believe in developing that social environment that can help you push the needle forward. You know, I remember days when I didn't have a mentor or didn't have a coach, and the contrast when I had one or the other, and it really does make a difference. And then having the people around you that are going to be your cheerleaders or your fan addicts, you know, the ones that are going to be with you no matter what. They're going to push you forward. They're going to pat you on the back. They're going to say you can do it. You need to surround yourself with as many of those individuals as possible. And I think that's what helped me bring this book to life. And super grateful and overwhelmed with the positive response it has gotten so far. And you know what? To my listeners, to our listeners, be unapologetic about your successes. You know, you have to be your biggest cheerleader.
Spotlight brightly.
Right? I mean, we hold ourselves back for so many reasons. Why are we holding ourselves back? We have like a ball of light within us that's ready to be like, ready to burst out, ready to shine. But we cover ourselves up. We put our heads down. We curl into a ball. And we are all such brilliant individuals if we just allow ourselves to tap into a fraction of what our potential is. And so I used to be one of those individuals. I would be like, no, I don't want to, and holding back because I don't know, maybe it's the fear of being judged, or maybe I don't want someone else to feel bad that I feel happy about my own success or whatever it is. But we're all here to achieve greatness. All of us, every single one of us. It's a choice that we have that we can, you know, decide to do or not. And if you are choosing to, be unapologetic about doing that. If you're choosing to go after your dreams, you know what? Pat yourself on the back. Get on top of, you know, the mountaintop and shout it out, because you're going to inspire so many other people to do the same. And I think that's what it's about. It's about our own personal growth and then helping others to grow too. So I'm excited about the book, not only because it's something that started with an idea and now it's physical and tangible. I am more excited about anyone and everyone that can benefit from the words that are shared in the book.
Yeah, you said two things there that tied together, actually, that I think are important to highlight as tied together. And it was essentially, you know, finding people that are like-minded thinking to support you through the journey. And don't be afraid to, you know, step into your greatness and work on achieving it, right? And one of the things that happens along any journey of self-growth, self-development, and improvement is you start to change, obviously, right? And your ambitions usually get higher. Your expectations of yourself and the people that you surround yourself with gets higher. You start to speak differently, act differently, think differently. It's just a natural progress of learning, growing, and evolving. But with that comes, if you don't have back to the support system, if your circle of friends or your circle of influence isn't on a similar growth trajectory or a growth mindset trajectory, they're going to start to notice you changing and essentially pulling away. And oftentimes, if you don't have that support system that is that way, they're going to, like, and this is where the fear comes in a lot of times when making those changes, they're going to, you know, start to say, like, you know, people like you don't make it. You know, most entrepreneurial ventures fail. You know, are you really going to leave the security of a job to go try this? And all these negative things that make you doubt. And when the reality is, it's out of their own fear that comes in many ways, or their fear of abandonment, or their, you know, guilt for not going on and trying to do something great with their lives. And so, you know, knowing that that is a potential thing to happen, and realizing that when you're in that situation, and then accepting that it's okay to essentially either cut some of those people free or just not see them as much, and then go out and seek people who are of like mind, who will support you, who will mentor you through it. That's where it gets super important, because, you know, like, humans love to be a part of a group. Like, that's how we survive. We're cooperative. And, you know, as a result, we will behave in many ways very similar to our group. So if we're surrounded with a group of high achievers, oftentimes we're going to be a high achieving, successful person. If we're surrounded by a group of people who, you know, who just enjoy working 9 to 5 and, you know, go home at night and on weekends drinking beer and watching TV, that's probably what we're going to do. I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm saying group many ways determines your behavior, your thought processes, your ideas of success. The idea of what you think is achievable is oftentimes defined by your group. And that's the power of what you're saying. So I just want to tie those two together, because I think individually they're super powerful concepts. Together, they are life-changing. It's a life-changing concept because they do work together.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right on that. I have a question for you, playing devil's advocate.
Okay. Yep.
So you mentioned earlier that you wanted to write, or you've been told that you should write a book. What's holding you back? I'm curious.
Laziness. Laziness. I don't want to put the effort into it. It's really not, oddly enough, this is not a fear of like being judged or evaluated. Because the irony is, I write all the time. I've got blog posts out there everywhere. Like, I don't have a fear of that. I know how much work it is. I also know that most of my writing is fairly short from the standpoint of it's one idea a post typically. And the brain effort to make a contiguous piece of information, which is in many ways what a book is, which is, you know, it has overarching theme and then, you know, small ideas within it, right? It just seems like something that I just don't want to do right now, if that makes sense. So I'm not going to lie and, you know, come up with some kind of like sounds good PC answer. The real answer is laziness.
No, I was just laughing. That's honest.
You know me. I'm honest and direct. And you know, I keep reading stuff that makes me inch toward it. So, but I also know, like, I write well, but I think my true gift of expression is communication, like speaking, like you and I are now, a conversation back and forth. I think it's more. I think hearing it has a more emotional component to it, and you questioning me like you just did now allows me to not only express but then expound on what I said, right? And hopefully address things that other people are afraid to say. So I really like that component of it. Now go back to what we're talking about with, you know, a book that gives the people that freedom to change. That was super powerful and is something that really kind of, again, that was one of those inch toward doing it. I am writing a chapter for a book, that's been my first venture into becoming a published author. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. That in some ways will determine one way or the other. But yeah, a lot of it's just, I just haven't wanted to put the effort into it because, I know too many people who have written books and, you know, it's never a pleasant conversation while they're in the middle of the journey. This is very much where it is like birth. It's never a pleasant conversation when in the middle of it. When they look back on it, they never remember it as bad as it was because the result mm-hmm. is worth it, right? So
right.
I, however, have not had that result, but I've been along the journey before, right? So that's what I'm feeling yeah. emotionally. I'm not feeling the euphoric, you know, aftermath or euphoric result of the book being published, and then the outpouring of appreciation that, like, you've received just in 3 days.
So I, no, I get that. And it does take a lot of effort to, you know, put your thoughts on paper and then in an organized way and edit it. And it has to be a certain amount of words for it to actually be a book versus just a long article and all these other
mm-hmm.
things. And I think for some, it also is, you know, a lack of creativity. I have a son who's writing a book, and the portion that he's written is amazing, but he sort of ran out of ideas is what he said.
Yeah.
And so he came up with an idea on how he would be able to start getting creative again to be motivated to finish this book. So in Unleash Your Supernova, chapter 11, I talk about how to boost creativity. Throughout the book, there are tips on increasing creativity, but what this chapter is something that I really enjoy revisiting. It's super easy to reference, especially when you sort of hit those walls. But I'm going to go through a few tips on how to boost creativity, and I'd love to hear what your thoughts are and if you utilize any of them. But I think this is really important. You know, I'm celebrating the book launch that happened this week, and it took a lot of me digging deep to find, you know, the creativity to complete the book, especially during a pandemic. And so what I'm saying to our listeners is that there are these hacks that you can employ, no matter if you're in a pandemic or not in a pandemic, if you are at home or on vacation, at work, or walking, where you can tap into new ideas, new solutions, new strategies, etc. So I'm going to start. I'm just going to read a few, and then you tell me, we could revisit the ones that are your favorites or the ones that you tend to employ. Get social. So, for example, head out to a movie, shut your brain down from the labor for a couple of hours. Call a friend mm-hmm. or family member to help alleviate the pressure that is blocking you from finding the level of creativity that you're searching for. Investing time with your family is probably going to lessen your feelings of anxiety and provide you with more energy to put towards creative thinking. That's one. Two, request help. Requesting help is not a sign of weakness. Getting advice from people that you trust and respect is a smart thing to do. Learning from the experiences of others can positively impact your life and business. We were talking about that before. Remember good memories. Recalling good times and victories of the past will make it a lot simpler for you to find creative motivation. Another one is revisit your values. We model our environment to reflect our core values. Reminding ourselves of those values can motivate us to achieve our goals. Another is tame the perfectionist. Perfectionism can cause you to chip away at or ruin your best work. Try not to obsess over getting everything right. When an idea comes to you, act on it and figure out the bumps along the way. I'm going to read a couple more. Read biographies of creative people. A great way to invigorate your mind is to read stories about successful creative entrepreneurs. You can learn a lot just by finding out about what works for these great personalities and how they overcame hurdles on their road to success. Be open to learn from both their triumphs and disappointments. Another one is enjoy the gift of nature. Go outside and breathe in some fresh air. Enjoy the birds, flower gardens, and other natural scenes. Nature can inspire you in more ways than you can imagine. And there's many more on the list that I'm not going to go over, but want to know, do any of those jump out at you, and or do you use any of those tips now to increase your creativity?
Yes, the first one I thought was interesting because it kind of reminded me of flow, right? Tapping into flow. What was the first one again? I remember having the thought, but what were the actual words on the first one that you read?
Yeah, give me a second. I just
yeah
get social. Get Social.
What was the second one then?
Request help. Remember good memories.
Get Social. I know it was Get Social. So part of, like, the reason it reminded me of Flow is, the brain, the way the brain works as far as, like, a lot of what creativity is like, essentially connecting dots, right? Between different ideas, different whatever, right? And that usually happens when the brain is in the right wave, brain wave state. And that comes with essentially it's not relaxation from sleeping, but it's relaxation from the standpoint of, like, you're not actively focusing on something. So, like, get social, hang with friends, do whatever. That allows the brain to get into that state, right? And it's amazing the connections that come when you're not focused on it. It actually happens a lot in the shower too, for the same reason. That one to me is stepping away, like working on something really hard, learning as much as you can, and then stepping away. It allows the brain to now make these never before made connections between the information that you just learned, gathered, whatever the situation may be. So that one stepped out to me from the flow perspective part of it. And the other one is that stuck out to me was, reading books, biographies or autobiographies about successful people. I've done that. To me, where it's super powerful isn't always in what they went through, or not what they did, but what they did. It's more in the struggles they went through from the standpoint of knowing that everybody who tries something great is going to go through struggles, and mm-hmm. that it's normal, and it's overcomable. Oh, wait, that's not a word. You're able to overcome it. It really, even though I don't typically lose hope too bad, it's just nice to know, even though you don't know this person, you're not the only one who feels this way. That to me, I've always found to be, very helpful. As far as, it's weird from what I do. I remember when I started writing, because my goal was 3-4 days a week. I'm like, how am I going to come up with crap 3 or 4 days a week? And what happened to me was once I knew I was going to be writing and kind of knew the areas of information as me writing on, my brain essentially shifted from the and started looking at, I guess subconsciously, at everything that I read, listened to, whatever. My brain filtered as a potential topic that I could write upon, right? So by basically saying, I'm going to do this, these are the topics, my brain then started looking for creative inspiration. And I think that's really important to, like you're talking about your son and you ran out of topics. If he just kind of kept his mind open and knew that here's my topic, here's what I'm writing on, and then just, throughout his reading, throughout his podcast, and throughout his conversations with people, just what kind of left his brain open to the ideas, the thoughts that can't come to him. It's crazy how much fertile ground that is for creative inspiration.
Yeah. It's so true. And I love the aspect of revisiting, like, fond memories. Because if we have, let's just say, writer's block, for example, you get frustrated, or you have this problem and you can't figure out the solution, you start having all these negative thoughts. But if you revisit mm-hmm. a positive memory in the past, it creates these feelings, of happiness or joy or giddiness or excitement, whatever that was. And then that also helps kickstart those creative juices or the flow that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the solution pops in your head. You're able to clear that space to allow for solutions to actually come to you or ideas to come to you. So I think we forget sometimes that our mood and our emotions can also impact our creativity.
It's actually really powerful that you say that, because I hadn't thought about this term, but when you really think about it, creativity, what are you doing? You are building something. You are create. That is positive. The reality is you cannot create anything from a negative perspective, right? Because negative is taking away. Positive is putting things together, is building, right? You build by putting things together. You do not build by taking things away, right? So it's impossible to actually be creative in a negative mindset. It's impossible to do.
That's interesting.
But when you really think about it from that perspective, it makes total sense, doesn't it? Like when you're writing your book, you are building the book, you're building the thought, you're putting those things, like that's creative, that's building. When, and go back to editing. What's editing? Editing is evaluating, removing. It's kind of a negative process, right? And
right.
So like that's why people talk about like they're don't do it at the same time because they're two different, you know, essentially sides of the brain, ways of thinking. That's, you know, that so by extension, what you just said is extremely powerful.
Okay.
Because it's impossible to create if you're not in a positive frame of mind.
So I know I went through some of my favorites on that list and boosting creativity, and I thought the point that you just made was super powerful. But mm-hmm. I wanted to just add these in before we wrapped up today. So one is play a game.
Mm-hmm.
Games can help stimulate creative thoughts. Go to an arcade and play video games, or perhaps take out your favorite board game or deck of cards. The point is to find time to play games you really like to inspire fun and creativity. Another one that we don't always think of is get a massage. Massages can help calm the body, making it simpler to find solutions to problems and think of new ideas. And this other one is get a creative space. Carve out an exclusive space that you retreat to when you need to be inventive. You can do this by finding a corner in your house that is free from any forms of distraction. Once you discover your creative spot, go there frequently and notice how easily your innovative thoughts come to you. So it's not the complete list, but I did want to throw in a few more before we wrap it up today. What do you think of those?
I really like to play one because especially as we get older in America, like, you know, it's all about seriousness and like being a professional, you know, like making money. And the reality is like, humans love to play. I mean, there's reasons why as children we play. It's imaginative. Like, you know, we're putting ourselves in situations mentally that we're not physically. And that whole process is nothing but creative. And that's done through play. And you know, as a result, like, when we play as humans, it goes back to, you know, the brainwave and stuff. Like, it puts us back in that imaginative, creative frame of mind and allows those connections to be made. And plus, it's just a hell of a lot of fun. It makes you a much more interesting person. People who have hobbies are way more interesting than people that don't, right? So that one I love. And then the second one that you mentioned, which was, what was the second one?
Get a massage.
Massage. Same thing. Back to the brainwaves, right? Like that puts you in a very relaxed state of mind, a very relaxed the brainwaves that allows those creative connections to be made. Because a lot of creativity really is allowing the brain to relax and make those connections between ideas that have not been connected before. And that's really it's essentially impossible to do when you're actively trying to do it in some ways. Because that's not how the brain works. And so a lot of what Americans have been told to do from a business perspective is wrong from a creative perspective. Because just work to, like, you know, till you're exhausted is not the most creatively productive way to work, right? And a lot of creatives that are now working from home, working by themselves, are discovering not only when are they at peak creativity, not only how they can, you know, more efficiently get into peak creativity, but the importance of stopping, taking a break, stepping away, you know, changing what the frame of mind that you're in, relax. They're discovering the importance of that because as humans are not built to focus and be creative 10, 12, 13 hours a day straight through. It's not how our brains work. And so it's not in many ways maximizing stuff isn't about how to do more of. It's working within the limitations of human anatomy and maximizing the peak performance within the parameters of how long that peak performance is going to be. So if you can be creative, peak performance wise for 4 hours at a time, maximize those 4 hours at a time. Don't try to make 8 hours. Do something else the other four. That's not creative, right? Maybe that's your task, right? maybe whatever. So, yeah.
No, I like that, especially how you mentioned in the end, if you have 4 hours versus the 8 hours and you know what your limits are, you know, don't stretch out trying to do a creative task for 8 hours. You're going to just run dry. The battery is going to run low. Okay.
Yep.
The car will turn off.
Yep.
So, I really love the, you know, finding or creating that space in your home and
yes,
that you go to, you know, that you associate with creativity, that you associate with being inventive. I have an area where I have an easel and a paint board to paint in this room, which is different from the room where I do my emailing and my podcast recording. And when I go to this other space, it's cozier, and it actually is the space where I like to work out as well. And we know that exercise ties into, you know, creating flow and creativity. So it's interesting how where I, you know, like to paint is also where I like to work out.
Mm-hmm. I thought so too.
But I do think that's important to recognize that our environment does play into how we create, how well we create, right? And so, you know, this all comes back to the how we started off the show talking about the book launch and how this was a journey and where I am now and what's on the horizon in terms of the book and things like that. And so for my journey right now in my life, it's the book, but it will be something else shortly thereafter. And for those that are listening, it could be a new project. It could be a podcast. You know, maybe you're a painter or a designer. It could be anything that you're wanting to, you know, take to new heights, or you're wanting to launch. And so all of these tips can be, you know, implemented right away, right now, to dun-da-da-da, unleash your supernova. You know, I have to get
I like the dun-da-da-da. Yeah.
You like that? The cartoon. On. Next time I'm going to, like, wear some tap shoes, you know, and put some speakers by them. And...
Yeah, I think our kids see that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Speaking of what's ahead, my daughter is in the middle of dance season. She's a competitive dancer. And shout out to Aspen. And she has a dance competition. And so anyway, that's what's next for me. That's the immediate thing on my horizon is being mom at my daughter's dance competition. So I'm looking forward to that. But I want to just do a quick mention of our sponsor, Pink Kangaroo. And Pink Kangaroo is a home for wild thinkers, the podcast network for content creators and hosts that are seeking a place to grow and or launch their show with a community of like-minded thinkers, a community that targets creatives and entrepreneurs. So if you are a host and you're hearing this or you're thinking about launching a show, definitely check out Pink Kangaroo. It's Pink Kangaroo with a U. And also, Ryan, you know, I always love doing this show with you, the live show with you. So thank you again for being my partner in crime.
Of course.
And that's right. And
thank you for shining the spotlight so brightly.
I hope you're blinded by, you know, like all
I am. The spotlight and the soapbox and the tap. The tapping of the shoes, you know, I'm speechless.
You know, I'm here to deliver. So for our listeners, definitely go to your favorite bookstore, go to Amazon, go to unleashyoursupernova.com, get the book, learn how to tap into your unlimited potential, increase your creativity, beat burnout, you know, get rid of stress in your life and tap into that inner brilliance. So check out Unleash Your Supernova, the book. And then also don't forget to subscribe and download the Unleash Your Supernova podcast. Well, you will hear our replays of our live shows as well. So again, thank you, Ryan. It was a pleasure as usual. I look forward to doing this again. Okay. Next week, same time, same place. And
yep, have fun on being here.
All right. And in the meantime, for our listeners, continue to unleash your supernova. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Yeah.